In our study of the Gospel of John, we looked at the great sign the miracle, of the feeding of the 5,000 in verses 10, 11, 12, 13. And thus we shared that together. And we had a little bit of understanding of that. And in the process, all four Gospels relate this particular event, and it is a very public and monumental event in the light of the number of people, because you're talking 5,000 men plus women and children. So if you allow one, two, three in a family, if you did that, you got 15,000 people. I mean, you got a lot of people. And in the process, the Lord Jesus Christ went and took what they had, as we shared together. He took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small, very small fishes, the relish that goes on top of the bread, as it were. And he fed them. He broke the bread, gave thanks and broke it, distributed it. And everyone of all those people sitting in the grass on the hillside, sitting in the grass, all of those people had a full basket to pick from. They could take as much as they wanted. When it was all done, they brought the baskets back, 12 hand baskets they were. And he brought the 12 hand baskets back. And when he brought them back, they were all full. And they were to not lose a fragment, not one piece of bread, not one little fish. They were to all be kept, so that what we started out with, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, has now become 12 baskets full of fish and bread. And thus they were to, and they, each disciple had a basket or such, so they had plenty to eat. Now, and we shared that together. I would like to go and take, since they missed the message, they missed the whole thing. But in order for, so that we don't totally miss out on what happened and why it happened, and thus God's creative ability, God's power to produce, provide, protect, God's ability to do all of that, and that God can make it happen. I mean, they had to discover something again and afresh and anew, that God could make it happen. God could make it come to pass, and that they were in the middle of a wonderful, wonderful person. The wonderful person was in the middle of them, I should say, who could do anything. Wow. Now, the crowd missed that. Would you go with me as we make an attempt to get a handle on what they missed out on? Over, please, to, you read Psalm 147. If you go back there, please. Psalm 147. In Psalm 147, you read in verse 4 about our great God and Savior, the Creator. And you read in verse 4, He telleth the number of stars, He calleth them all by their names. Hang on to that. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite, that means endless in every direction. His power is, and His understanding is infinite in every direction. Over, if you would, to verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes on the ground. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causeth His wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and judgments unto Israel. Now, having said, read that, back over to verse 3. And all of that you don't want to leave out, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So God, who has magnificent power, omnipotence, awesome power, awful, awesome power. He heals. He cares. He cares about the tender sorrow and suffering, sadness, and all of that that we go through. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so now what we're looking back, keeping that in mind, and if you would, in the process, go and remember now that, and we read, so you don't lose that, that you've got, what do you've got? The crowd is looking. We just read about God's great person and power. And it's demonstrated in five loaves and two fishes, a small boy's lunch, 12 hand baskets, and 15,000 people plus or minus. And the hand baskets were full at the end. Now, they're looking at that. They aren't looking at the stars. They aren't looking at all that. And in the process of that, they should have been looking at God. And God makes all of these things, bread, 5 loaves of bread, 2 loaves of fishes, the stars, everything, snow, all the snow, hopefully it never comes till January, snow, and little snow, and all the snowflakes are different, grains of sand are different, and everything is out there, wonderfully, wonderfully different. Now, in order to get the point, and taking of many, many ways to do this, I'm just taking that which is in front of me here. And in the process, you would, Avogadro, the chemist, 1800s, physicist, and he had a number, a very famous number it is. It was 6.02252. That's Avogadro's number. Now, that's a very famous number. And in the process of that, that is equal to the molecule in 1 mole. Now, I knew you'd be excited about that. Not a mole in the ground, either. Not that kind of mole. It's the molecular weight in grams. Oh, now, I'm going to break that. Forget all that stuff. Now, what about this number? That number equals 1 mole. So a mole, a particle, the particles in a mole. So how am I going to say that? Well, another way to say that is, if you just think of 18 grams of water, that's a swallow. If you drank a swallow of water, 18 grams of water. Weight. Now, 18 grams, a swallow of water. Now, in order to come to grips with that, if you would, then you want to remember now that when I say that, God, magnificent God, and you want to lock on, because I'm going to try to make it drive it home to you. So in the process, here's the number of the particles, 6.02252 times the 23rd power. That's 23 zeros after it. Now, if you took all of that, all those particles, and you made them marbles, you made them the size of a marble, and spread them over the entire earth, they would rise 50 miles high all over the earth. If you took the 18 grams of water and the particles, and you could make them the size of a marble, they would cover the earth 50 miles deep. Marbles. Hang on. I knew you'd be excited about this. And so now, if you take 18 grams of water, a swallow, and you take it and divide it evenly, spread it over the whole earth, there would be 100,000 molecules of water every square centimeter. You know what a millimeter is? A centimeter. Every square centimeter of earth would have 100,000 molecules of water. Now, Oh, you'll like this one. In the number 6.02252, that number, the number, if you made it into dollars, that's like you get paid lots of dollars. And you could use that. You could not spend, if you spent, tried to spend at the rate of $1 billion a day, that's more than you get all year, most of you. $1 billion a day, it would take you over 1 million years and you still haven't spent it. Still haven't spent the money. Now, so in the process of that, that's just that number. And that's just a number. A lousy 18 grams of water? 18 grams of water. Hard to believe, isn't it? Not the glass, just the swallow. Now, I'll do another number for you. Do you know the stars, the observable stars? Astronomy tells us that we can see. These are stars we can see. And we'll take the Hubble telescope and add it that we can see up there. And we take the stars that are observable, not the ones that... That's how we know there's a big galaxy in the end of the Big Dipper, because of the telescope. It isn't just a star, it's a galaxy, whatever. So, I mean, you get... got to tell you. And we read it in Psalm 147, he telleth the stars, he knoweth them all by name. No. So the stars, what about stars? Well, there are 10 plus 22 zeros, or 10 billion trillion stars that we can see. I don't know how you count them. 10 billion trillion stars that you can see. That you can see. Not the ones you can't see. We're unable to see them. We don't have equipment to see them. We've got to send somebody out there to Mars somewhere to take a look at, get a little distant out there. And now, in the light year, you know, a light year. In the light year, you know, the light travels 186,281, whatever it is, miles per second. And a light year would go 6 trillion miles. 6 trillion miles. And 6 trillion miles, you say, well, what is that? 6 trillion miles, a light year. And that's the distance equals to 12 million trips between Earth and the Moon, round trips. 12 million round trips between the Earth and the Moon. 12 million. That would equal one light year. 12 million. Now, that's a God. And I could, number after number, would say, wow, but no one ever thinks about them except people that do this stuff. Your own body, billions of bacteria every square inch. Millions. Wow. Now, I do one other one. This is what I just read you, God created. All we're doing, we didn't create water. God did. God created water. And all the water and all the molecules in it, the way, well, I just read, that God did that. God's creative work. Look at the design of the flower, etc. Now, having said that, let me give you one other one from a human side. Humans take all of this creative thing that we have to work with. That's where you got it. And now, and for you, you that are in the smartphone age, and now you're all familiar with this stuff. I don't get into it really; it's too confusing for me. Now, so the clouds, computer clouds, like storms, and the computer cloud. Now, the largest computer cloud is in China. That's the largest in the world cloud. It does quadrillions of calculations per second. Quadrillion. Now you say, what's that? Per second. Now, you understand, I'll do it easy for you. I hope it isn't wasted, but I'm going to say something. And you need to understand it. That's what they missed. God took those loaves and fishes and just did that. God took that water and did that. Something beyond our, all we can do is blows our mind away of what we learn about everything, the stars and everything. Now, if you want to count to a trillion, you remember. You want to count to a million, I should say. Start with a million. It will take you a little less than 12 days. If you, one per second, one count, every second, one, two, three, four, count to a million, it will take you just about 12 days. Straight, no stop. You'll get Guinness's Book of Records. Straight 12 down the road, 12. Now, if you want to go and talk about, you want to talk about billions, a billion, what's a billion? And a billion to count, 1, 2, 3, 4, is 32 years to count to a billion. Counting 1, 2, 3, 4, it would take you 32 years to count to a billion. If you're going to count to a trillion, it's going to take you 32,000 years to count to a trillion. And if you want to go to a quadrillion, it will take you 32 million years to count to a quadrillion. This computer does quadrillions, plural, per second calculations. That's all the stuff we have. So, do we have stuff? Here's us humans. We are, wow, it blows your mind away. What, I don't know. Quadrillion. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, if you would you then remember, God, what did you try to do? I tried to help them understand. I'm the Creator. Now, they wouldn't understand water molecules necessarily. And Abraham looked at the stars, and he believed that all the stars were what they were, and God made them. He couldn't count them. But he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then humans go and take all of this wonderful knowledge that we're able to keep learning as history goes down the corridor of time. And we have all this, so we have this cloud and the peg of flops or whatever they are. And quadrillions. Billions and millions and millions and millions and millions per second calculations. And we're lost. We're lost. We're left out. There's no human on earth that can follow that. No human. This is per second. No one can do that. We're all have to stand back. God, what did you try to do on that day? You tried to get the people to pay attention to who he was. He's going to tell him he is the bread of life. And they would never hunger again. But they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Go back with me and let me take a look. They rejected. Over to Isaiah 55. Let me go 1, 2, 3. I want to get Israel first. And then we'll go to us. Because after all, these are Israelite Jews looking. And they see the fish. They ate the fish. They ate the biscuits. Isaiah 55, let me just lock onto it in your head and heart. Now, the crowd was willing to receive the miracle and the signs. They rejected the one who did it. They rejected him. They marveled at the miracles and rejected the one who did them. The miracle worker. Isaiah 55, may I go directly to verse 8 for time's sake? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God said it, it's going to be. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, God's word is going to be honored. Israel, understanding that, what did Israel was supposed to be a wonderful testimony to all the nations of the world. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, may I go to verse 7. 43:7, Isaiah. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, I have made him. Now why? Why? Verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Reason, that you may know and believe me. Not what I do, the person that I am. And understand that I am he, the person that I am. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm trying to get you to see who did this. You're getting caught up in the miracle and the sign. Instead of the person, you're caught up in the creation and not the Creator. And that's what they were. Over, if you would, Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Israel, that's what Israel was supposed to do when they didn't. They should have, but they didn't. Isaiah chapter 5, and in verse 1, speaking of Israel, now I will sing to my beloved, well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. That's in Jerusalem, etc., Palestine, Jerusalem, and Israel. Verse 2. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Wow. Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord's, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is, what is the vineyard? The house of Israel and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression, for righteousness, and behold, the cry. Israel, you're missing the whole point. Just like they did in the feeding of the 5,000 with all the bread and the fishes, you guys missed the whole point. Missed it. Now, thus, Israel going to move right now from here into where they are in Jerusalem in the day of our Lord and to where we are today. And you'll pick up a whole list, and you know one of them. Woe, woe, woe. But I'm going to read you the woe that is most relevant to us, it seems. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They turn everything upside down and inside out. That's how you get away with it. How can we get away with what we call good and bad? Because we've turned the whole thing around. And God is good, and we call God, we reject God, and we now call us good, and everything we don't understand is not good. Not good. We don't understand it. We can't relate to it. And we tag it. So bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter, darkness for light. God wants light in your life. We love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. And so therefore, we aren't interested in God. We're interested in the miracle. And now, hang on to that. Jeremiah chapter 31. Israel, Israel is going to go and going to be all right. It's all right for Israel. It just takes the tribulation coming up to get through that. Jeremiah chapter 1, and in verse, if I may, verse 31. 1 and 31. Excuse me, chapter 31, verse 31. 31, 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That's it, the Mosaic covenant. Which my covenant they break, they broke the law. Although I was an husbandman unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Not know my miracles, they'll know me. It's all about he that cometh to God must believe that he, Hebrews 11:6, that he is. In the beginning, God, not creation, God. You'll know who I am. You're caught up in what I do, not who I am. And thus, they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I remember their sin no more, etc. Now, having said that about Israel, go with me, please, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, picking up, if I can, verse 14, you're familiar with, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, if you know Him, that's why you're going to receive Him, verse 12, as many as receive Him, to them gave He power, right, authority, ability, to become the sons of God, children of God, even to them that believe in His name. So we're going to go. The Word became flesh. God made Himself known in the most personal, clearest way He could. We're made in His image and likeness. And so God made it known so that by way of a person, we could understand the person, unique, wonderful person of God. And so, thus, we are able to know Him. Verse 16, and in the process, we're able to, at the end of verse 14, He's full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. Remember the little word for, preposition, is in place of, just, and the easiest way to remember that, a way to remember it, is just think of the waves in the ocean, one wave after another wave after another wave. Whether the tide's in or the tide's out, the wave's in, next wave, that's the word. Grace in place of grace in place of grace. God's grace. Now, God, here you are, graciously dealing with us, and we're looking to you to deal with us, and what did you do? Well, God was full of grace and truth for Israel. And what do? Well, they wanted a sign. And you know, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, may I pick up, please, directly in verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks or the Gentiles seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, what is the only sign you know it from your in reading? In fact, let's not even guess. Matthew chapter 12. You know the only sign. We're just going to read it. The only sign I'm going to give them. They wanted a whole lot of signs. They had a sign with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. They had a sign. Signs, thousands of signs. He was healing continuously. Hundreds and hundreds of people. We don't know how many. People are always with him. He's healing them. Think if he said if it was written, you couldn't write a book. It'd be too big. Everywhere he went, you should have been hugely, wildly impressed that he could not only heal you, people sitting there on the grass were probably healed and fed. And you didn't understand. You missed the whole point of the exercise. You missed the doctor. You missed the care of the doctor. God had to help them. And in chapter 12, verse 38, God is going to give them no more grace in that way. The only grace he's going to give them is a sign, 12:38, Matthew. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Well, there's thousands of signs. But he answered and said unto them, Ye evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, etc. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified in 3 days and 3 nights, he rose again on the 3rd day, on Sunday a.m., and he rose in the morning, somewhere early morning. He rose. He said, that's the only sign I'm going to give you. No more. No more signs. Now hang on to no more signs. No more signs. That's the only sign. All right? The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign that the crucified Christ, who you actually officially crucified, that crucified one that you sanctioned was dead and you buried and allowed him to be buried, one that you sanctified, that one that you authorized and validated, that one is going to be rise again from the grave. And that's the only sign I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the sign of life. L-I-F-E. Sign of life. He that was dead lives. Now, here was where we come in, as you know. Now, here's the church, and you know, dear friends, from John 5 and all those wonderful passages, God has God has given us everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life, John 5:24. And God is going to show his mercy and grace by having a unique relationship to who he is. And we're to exercise that grace amidst great unbelief, blasphemy, insult, indifference. Here we are. Here's the church at the end of the church age. Here we are, still here. And God, what are we doing? What is our assignment? Demonstrate who you are. Not what you can do, what you have done. You have done something wonderful in taking a soul lost in sin, sorrow, and suffering. And you've saved them to the uttermost. And we, that one who is saved, is to be his witness of wonderful, wonderful what? Everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. God, you have given us the wonderful, wonderful right. The worker of miracles has done something wonderful. He has found a home in the believing heart. And finding a home in the believing heart, when, John 1:12, you read it, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God, the omnipotent, awesome, awful miracle worker, wonder of wonders, comes into your heart. And in the same moment, the Spirit of God places that believing heart smack dab in the middle of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the middle of God, right in this room. Wow. So, God, what happened to us? Something wonderful. What about our signs? Should we have signs? You are the sign. Should we have miracles? You are the wonder. Who's going to believe? Oh, churches. We are churches and we go to church and everything. Who's going to? We don't care. We are with churches. All that's all right, but hey. God, you've done something wonderful to make us real. Not religious. Real. 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 Real people. Really saved. Really saved. Absolutely. We're not talking, we're saved. The Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again has entered into my life, into the believing heart life, and is saved. They're wonderfully, wonderfully saved. And so, God, here we are. We have a wonderful relationship to you. You have made your home in my heart, in our heart, and I have made my home in your heart. That's my relationship. That's your relationship. And now, go with me, please, over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, you know. If you just show some sign, some wonder for me, I don't need to do that. You need to be able to say, thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being a wonderful Savior. Well, I put wow, because that's what I would have said when I saw all those bread, all those baskets, and when I saw it leave, I'd be watching it come down the little aisle of hundreds, of the groups of hundreds and fifties, as I watched it come down, and I watched people take out of it, and I watched it always stay full. And you know what? The basket hasn't even got to me, and I know me for a little bit. I'd say, wow! Wow! That's what I'd say. And then it came to me. And it happened right in front of me. I took it out and it was full. I took another hand. I would. I took another handful. And it was full again. Ah. It wasn't about the basket or the bread. It was you, God. Would you go on Ephesians chapter 1? Verse 22, you know, but hath given for the church, the body, and hath put all things under his feet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father hath, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, to the body, the assembled body, singular, which is his body, 22, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, without doing all of that. At that time, would you just remember that God is the head? God has given the head of the head. The Lord Jesus Christ, God has given him a body, the believing body, and the believing body is full of God. And that believing body set apart, sanctified for God. That body set apart for him. And thus we somehow fulfill his wonderful person so that the head continues to outwork his life. With us. Here we are, remember, on planet Earth, the head's in heaven, and what you see is a hand wiggling down here. You say, who's that hand belong to? That hand belongs to God. You see a foot over here, and who's that foot belong to? That foot belongs to God. They see the believer at work, at school, in the home. That person belongs to God. And when you see the person, follow them all the way and find the head in their heart. Now, so thus, oh, would you, Ephesians chapter 3. We mentioned fullness. And in Ephesians 3, here's a prayer of all the wonderful prayers that God gives, tells you what He wants, what His desire is for you. And thus, I'm going to go to verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What do you want, God, for us? I want you to understand you're smack dab in the middle of who I am. I am totally around you and in you. You are in the middle of my love. I am love. You're in the middle of me. And I want you to know the fullness of that. I don't want you to try to say, am I going to have a miracle for 5 loaves and 2 fishes? I don't want you to worry about, am I going to get a cure for this? I want you to enjoy who I am. And let me outwork my wonderful will for your life. Because you see, you represent me. That's why you can count on it. See? The dumb people got caught up with the fish and the bread and lost it. But believers, show me something that you're God. You don't have to do anything. You are plain God being God. You have to be God because you are God. Wow. So now looking to you, God, trusting you, and you know over in, you don't have to turn there, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your, what's the next one? All your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How so? There's no shortage. God doesn't sit down, make sure you give me a grocery list. Make sure you give me your need list. I didn't say that. God says your Father knows the need before you ever ask Him. What you're doing is trusting Him. And you're learning to enjoy a wonderful God who does all these miracles and wonders. And what's the most wonderful thing of all? You have life. L-I-F-E. Eternal life. Eternal relationship. Wow. Wow. Now, having said that, over to, oh, so much. While you're here, very quickly, let me go. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So our blessings are not whether bread and barley loaves. No, our blessings are from heaven, and God has blessed us with all the blessings that belong to God in Christ. That's what you got. And they're up there, and they're in here, up there and in here, in your heart, in Christ. I got them. So do you now. And thus, verse 6, which are be to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, the word accepted, highly favored in the beloved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. God, what, we aren't here to be, look, make God look like a jerk. Make God look like a stupid, non-functional. You can take Him or leave Him. Wrong. That's what the church has done. And Judaism has done. It made them look like nothing. So therefore, that's why the world is, our country is going the way it is. No wonder. We ask for it as a people across the country. We ask for this. Now, so God, over. Over to the book of Job. Of all the places to go. The book of Job, and if you would, the end, chapter 42. The book of Job and chapter 42. Now, God, what do we know about? Well, we know Job. Now, Job, were you interested? If anyone was interested, he had all at once in one 24-hour day, he lost his family, his children, his cattle, his riches. He lost his servants. He lost it. And then another day, and he lost his health the next day, as it were. And he lost his health. And you know what? Job, I didn't hear you crying out to God. To God, heal me. God, restore my family. God, you took away all my wealth. He never said that. No. No. And all of that, Job sinned not. He wanted to know God. He didn't want to know where the bread and fish came. Why? He wanted to know the one that could do it. That's what he was interested in. To know the God who does this. The God who made the flour. The God who took 18 grams of water and put all those particles in it. That if I spread them out, they cover the earth from one little drink of water. That God. Yeah, I want to know that God. I'm not interested in God. My ills and aches are nothing compared to that. Wow. That's right. Wow. And here's the cloud in China, whatever there. And here's the quadrillions, plural, per second calculations and making them. And I say, China, you have your computer. You and I have our God, whose thoughts and ways are what? Higher than the heavens. And so here's a calculator that blows our mind away. But I have a God who blows the calculator away. What do you think? Yeah. I don't want to miss that lesson. They did. Oh, they'll learn it. Some of them will. But I don't want to miss it. No, sir, God, I don't want to. Job, so closing. Job, and he says it for us. Chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. So, God, there's no sense in discussing that. I know what you can do anything, and I know you know everything. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that I understood not? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. And Job is a very smart fellow. He's a believer. And he talked intelligently to God. But when he got all through, he said, God, have I got another education? Boy, you just grew. I had you this big, and now you're this big. Wow. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know, I didn't pay attention, God. I was so busy enjoying the blessings, I forgot to enjoy the blesser. Just forgot. But you took it all away so that I would remember that it was nothing to do with what I had. It was everything to do with who I had. Who I had. It was you. Just you. Just you. If God, you plus nothing equal everything. Does that equation come out all right? You plus nothing equals everything. Mathematician. Got it? Wow. And so God, what'd you do? Well, he went, you know, and he doubled his cattle and his children. When Job got the lesson, God said, hey, and by the way, Job, here's a whole bunch of children, and here's a whole bunch of money, and here's a whole bunch of animals, and here's everything. And a whole lot of health for you. Live the next few years with that lesson and grow and learn it well. So here we are, God, looking. And we want to be appreciative. I want to learn. I do. God, I don't want to get hung up. But you need to show me something. You don't need to show anything. You've said it. And you are here to reinforce what you've said. And you were telling me to believe. To allow you. That was the whole point of John 6. They had to believe. To allow you to be who you are. And to enjoy and experience and exercise your wonderful person. An ever-present companion. We did it in Sunday school in the Spirit of God. You know, I'm glad to be with all you guys and gals. But you can't replace God. I like Jeanette. Oh, no, I love Jeanette. But Jeanette can't replace God. My health can't replace God. No one can replace God. No one. And I'm not going to let it happen. Are you? Are you going to let it happen? Get loused up in your life and you lose out. And you go looking for the bread and the fishes, and you lost the wonderful wonderment of knowing the Creator and allowing Him to do such an abundant wonderment in your life, to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary by taking the ordinary and doing it in an extraordinary way. So whether we, you know it 100 times, whether you eat or drink, you do it to the glory of God, you see, with thanksgiving. Work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. You have a healthy attitude. You aren't looking for the world and your body and your system to save you. You have a wonderful Savior to show that Savior in all the stuff that can never save you. Never save you. Well, anyway, I got to quit. I appreciate your patience, kindness. Our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. God, thank you. Thank you for just being you. God, thank you. Thank you for the rain, the snow, the summer, the spring. God, thank you for everything. God, there's no replacing you. No way. No way on earth or in heaven. You are irreplaceable. You are wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. For those who know not you as their personal Savior, God, may they receive you into their life, even now, and will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that.